The Volume.
Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of Boxing with Chris Mannix, part of the Volume Sports Podcast Network. Got a good show for you today. Paulie Malignaggi, former multi-division world champion, boxing broadcaster. He joins me, and we cover, well, a lot of ground in this interview. We talk about his exit from Showtime. Last summer, Paulie was fired by the network for some racially charged comments. He explains that and answers the question, could he have kept his job if he had simply apologized? Plus, he's involved in another brouhaha, this time with a radio host and a TikToker. This radio host slapped him on the back of the head with baby powder on his hand. It was all over the internet. Paulie explains what happened with that situation. Plus, we get into Deontay Wilder against Tyson Fury. That press conference for the third fight took place on Tuesday. And Paulie's involvement in extreme bare-knuckle boxing. He's going to be part of a broadcast in July. I talked to him about the traction that bare-knuckle boxing can or can't get in the sport amongst its fans. Stick around. Great conversation with Paulie Malignaggi. As always, best way to support this podcast, subscribe, rate, review. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. All right, that's it. On to the show. All right, Paulie Malignaggi is here, multi-division world boxing champion. He is part of BYB6, Extreme Bare Knuckle Broadcast, part of the broadcast team, I should say. Will be July 16th in South Florida at the Seminole Hard Rock. He is part of that team with the voice of MMA, Mike Goldberg. This fight series is set in a diamond-shaped triangular ring with three equal sides. It'll be the smallest ring in combat sport. I had to catch myself there, Paulie, because you've done, you know, this kind of stuff before. But you're out of that game, right?
Yeah. I'm liable to try anything. But just commentating. Just commentating right now, you know.
Have you officially retired?
Yeah, I retired like 3 years ago from boxing. But then you just kind of get these one-offs that come your way, I guess. And I had a one-off. And I don't know. They always offer me these one-offs. You know, if I took every single one of my one-offs that get offered to me, I wouldn't be retired anymore. I'd be perfectly active. So I still consider myself retired, but you know, I guess, as any retired fighter these days does, they keep their ear open for a certain kind of one-off that, you know, brings them back for a night, you know.
How did you know as a boxer it was time to hang him up?
The main thing I knew was that I couldn't get through a training camp without getting some kind of injuries, you know. I was getting injured, and I was trying to work as hard as I always tried to work. but I was getting injuries, stupid injuries, but injuries that wouldn't heal, you know? And it was becoming annoying, and it was affecting me, and it was affecting the amount of work I could do and the way I wanted to do the work. And then slowly but surely, even it builds up on top of that. You know, you start slowing down, your reflexes aren't what they were, your legs all of a sudden aren't as bouncy. You know, it just kind of builds up. It becomes a compound problem. Science, you're aging, you know, it's nothing out of the ordinary, you know, part of the aging process. And that's it. You know, you kind of realize, all right, this is why guys retire around this age, you know?
It ends for us all, Paulie. Some of us earlier than others. I was probably 18 when I realized that my 70-mile-an-hour fastball wasn't going to get me through anything more than Babe Ruth baseball. A lot I want to get into with you, including the press conference today we saw for Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3. But you and I haven't talked in a while, and I wanted to just ask you about, you know, for several years you were the top analyst over at Showtime doing their boxing broadcasts. That ended for you last summer, in part because of comments you made to IFL TV about the end of the African-American fighter. People can look them up if they want to. I mean, as you look back on that now, almost a year later, any regrets about how that all played out?
What I regret is probably the way it was interpreted. I don't think it was meant as in the way many people interpreted it. I'm not going to regret or apologize for what I feel. That's for sure. You know, when I say something, it's because I mean it. But I think things can be interpreted in certain ways. I do think people that are racists tend to see race in every single thing somebody says. And so unfortunately, I think it was made more racial than it actually was. By people that are probably racist against people of my skin tone, you know, of my race. So I think that's probably how I'm going to break it down for you. I don't think it was interpreted in the way it was meant to be interpreted. You know, I do think things happen to everyone. I don't think you can paint every circumstance with one certain brush. You can't say all black people are oppressed. You can't say all white people are privileged. You can't say things like that. You can't paint everybody of a certain ethnicity or color with the same brush, because then that's racism in itself, right? So I do think you do have to approach things circumstantially and listen to people's stories circumstantially, and you'll find that, you know, there are things that we stereotype as a society that probably shouldn't be stereotyped. Like, you know, I may have said I don't feel like African Americans are oppressed in this day and age, as a race, but at the same time in this country, so there are people that get offended by that. And then there are African Americans that will also get offended. I know personally that would get offended if I said that they are oppressed, you know? So the same thing with, you know, white privilege the other way around. You know, there are certain white people that feel like, you know, they have a privilege. And then there are certain white people that will say, you know what, my life's been hard. I didn't get a privilege with my skin color. So I do think that you can't paint everything with the same brush, regardless of ethnicity or race. Otherwise, you're falling into the trap that you're supposedly trying to fight, which is racism and prejudice, right? So, and I probably could have chose my words a little better, maybe. But in the moment, it was kind of a question that threw me off, and we were just trying to move on to other subject matters. You know, I wasn't being interviewed for that reason. I was being interviewed, you know, just as the landscape of boxing as a whole. We were in COVID, and I think the guy just needed to do a job. And he's like, he called me and wanted to get some quotes, you know, and because there were no fights going on, I think we were in a lockdown, if I remember correctly. So it really had nothing to do with that. And so I just kind of answered it really quickly. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the interview continued for like another 10 minutes after that, because it really wasn't like a major part of the interview, you know, until I was told that, you know, there were certain things that, you know, became more of an issue than they were. To this day, I do think that people overplayed it for sure. I do think it was overplayed for pats on the back for people that fought it, because the video had, I remember when it became a problem, the week I had the issue with my bosses that we officially parted ways, the video had about 14,000 and change views, and it had been about 3.5 months since I did the interview. and it had about 14,000 and change views. The weekend they made that announcement, in 3 days, it doubled in views. So that video really didn't bother that many people. You know what I'm saying? That interview didn't bother that many people. It was more virtue signaling, and you know, pats on the back. And for me, that's fine. You know, I don't have to agree with it. They don't have to agree with me. I certainly wasn't intending to offend people, unless they are racist against my skin color. Then I am trying to offend you. But other than that, I mean, I wasn't trying to offend anyone. I was just kind of making a matter of fact statement. And then in making that matter of fact statement, I just thought the interview was going to continue, and it did. And I really didn't give a lot of thought to it until it was brought to my attention again.
Could you have kept your job if you had apologized?
I'm not sure, but I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, you know? First of all,
why not?
Because I offered to apologize for the way my comments came out. I did offer that. I have an email proving that. I did offer to apologize for the way my comments may have been interpreted. But they wanted me to apologize for my views. And those are my views. Whether people are going to agree or not, those are my views. Now, that doesn't mean that they're always right. Again, circumstantially, they change. But those are my views. I stand behind those views. I've lived my life, and I've experienced enough of my life to know that those are my views, and I can give you proof of why, for me, those are my views. But again, of course, circumstantially, there are always things that change in those circumstances, because you can't paint everything in every situation with the same brush. So I did offer to apologize for the way my comments had come out, because I didn't want people to misinterpret it. And I realized, okay, people may have taken it this way, and it could have been taken in another way, you know? So I did offer to apologize and say that, you know, in the future, I would try to be more empathetic in the way I express my views. I regretted that, you know, people may have taken things in a different light, in a different way. I didn't say I'm sorry, but I did say, you know what, if anybody took it the wrong way, I regret that, you know, because I wouldn't want people to feel, interpret something in a way where I didn't mean for it to be interpreted, especially if it hurts their feelings, especially if there are people that I knew as well, you know. And that could be the opposite as well, you know, like, you know, in today's day and age, the opposite view is kind of demonized, but there are people that get offended when you express the opposite view as well, you know. So I don't think you want to offend people one way or the other if you really have a choice, right? So I did try to offer a statement, which I have in my email files, that, you know, would basically express my regret for the way things were interpreted. And I had also expressed that in the future, I will try to express them in a more empathetic way. Probably, like I said, in the moment, the interview was just, you know, it was just kind of matter of fact. I didn't think twice about it, you know. But then afterwards, when everything came out, it was obviously something that, you know, I probably could have expressed differently.
All right. So one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this just came across the radar the last week. What the hell happened at the Lamar Odom, Aaron Carter fight? Like, I honestly, I all of a sudden, like, over a period of days.
I'd love to ask you the same question, because I'm the person to answer myself.
Like, just to kind of put it in perspective, this is all I saw and all I really know about that situation. Somebody comes up to you with a handful of baby powder, whatever it was, and while you're working as a color commentator next to my man Bruce Beck on that broadcast, you get slapped.
Bruce is appalled.
So explain to me what happened and how that happened.
I've been going back and forth with Corey B. He's a morning show host in New York on 92.3 FM. And he's also a known TikToker, you know. So, you know, sometimes I listen to the show and whatnot. And he's one morning, he's just calling about, you know, he's boxing. That's fine. You know, you're boxing. You're cool. It's fine. Whatever. But he's talking about how he's going to fight now and he's going to compete now and all this other stuff. And I don't know, man. I was having one of those kind of mornings, you know, one of those extra cup of coffee kind of mornings. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just call and see if I get through, bro. Because I'm going to be like, bro, listen, you guys got to stop this. You guys are ruining my sport. Like, this is the sport that I grew up in. And, like, there's a certain ethics to my sport. There's a certain purity to my sport. Guys work hard to get to where they're going. And, like, you're just going to supersede that, and people are actually going to watch you more, and there's not going to be a viewership. There's not going to be an audience for the real world-class fighters soon if they keep doing this, you know? Like, I don't want this sport to get to the point where people say the word boxing and the person, a random person, what name the first person you think of when you say boxing, and a person will think more to say Logan Paul or Jake Paul rather than Anthony Joshua or Canelo. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you say the word boxing, I want you to think of Mayweather, Ali, or modern day Fury, Joshua, Canelo. You know, I don't want you to say Logan Paul, Jake Paul. We're getting to the point where if somebody, you tell a random person in boxing, what's the first person that comes to your mind? They'll say Jake Paul. They'll say something like that. So I don't want it to get to that point. So I was like, yo, bro, listen, you know, it's cool. You're good, but like, you know, it's nice that you're doing that, but you know, simmer down a little bit, man. You know what I mean? You're not of a level where you talk like you're talking. Because he was talking like a big shot. Like he was talking like, oh, the guys in the gym were looking at me and they were asking my trainer if I was a pro. Like, what does that even mean, bro? You know what I mean? There's pros that are terrible. What is that? That's not a compliment. You have a platform, so you're overstating your piece, you know? And then, you know, what are people gonna do? People are gonna buy into this. Because we live in a dumb generation, bro. So people are going to buy into this. And then they just, you know, before you know it, you take all the attention from, say, like an Errol Spence versus Danny Garcia type of pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, these things are getting more buys than that, right? So I was like, yo, listen. And then, you know, he started kind of getting wise with me, and I got wise with him. And before you know, we're kind of arguing on the air on his radio show. And I was like, listen, we're not going to argue here. So listen, me and you both know that if I was in the studio right now, you wouldn't do anything. Listen, you can talk tough. I'm going to talk tough. But really, what are we doing? We're on the phone. You're in the studio. You know, let's let it go. Just understand what I'm saying. We both know, though, at the end of the day, no matter what, if I was in the room there, you'd be probably quiet as a mouse and you'd be agreeing with me. You'd be nodding. And I guess looking back now, he was meaning to prove that if he's in the room with me, he can do something. I mean, I wasn't looking. I mean, I didn't even know that he was in the building, so to speak, but whatever. That's how it wound up going there, you know. When I got smacked, I first of all I was looking at who it was because I was ready to tear somebody up right away. Then I looked and it's him. It's his kid. So I shot at him, but security broke it up right away. It's getting more play than actually happened, you know. It was a little bit of a melee. But I think they threw him out anyway.
How old is this guy?
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. He's a TikToker, YouTuber, whatever they call them now, Instagram or whatever they call today. But I just know him from the radio show, you know, from the morning radio show. But I don't know how old he is, you know.
So will we see Paulie Malignaggi versus Corey B in a boxing match?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like it's going to wind up this situation where I'm a bad guy if I do this, you know? Like, so I'm like, I don't know. Hey, dude, I could beat this is the kind of guy I could beat with one hand, Chris. I mean, we're talking about even Logan and Jake Paul know better than to fight a boxer. You know what I mean? I mean, Logan fought a boxer. Or he fought Mayweather. But I mean, I don't know. Even Jake Paul knows better than to fight a boxer. You know, he's building himself up in a way where he's not going after a boxer. Yes, I'm retired. Yes, okay, I wasn't the biggest puncher. And yes, I've had hand problems. He's gone into all of this in terms of the way he describes why he chose me, besides calling me, you know, the annoying person that I am or whatever he thinks I am. But nonetheless, I still feel like this is a guy I will beat with one hand. Like, you have to make certain rules. If you make me and him box, you have to make certain rules. There's no way he could stand up with me, no matter how little punching power I've had in my career. There's no way he's gonna last any amount of rounds with me. So I don't know. I feel like if I do this, I would come out to be the bad guy. You know what I'm saying? So he's like a little kid jumping up and down, making a mess, making a scene. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like. I mean, if I go and knock him out, I guess I could, you know, end this once and for all for everybody and make people realize, you know what, this is okay. There is a difference between a real YouTuber boxer and a real boxer, you know. But at the same time, if I go and knock him out, society's gonna look at me like the bad guy. Like, oh, you should have known better. What if I hurt him? You know, oh, you should have known better. You know, he's not a real boxer. So I don't know. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place with this. I don't really feel like there's a way to make the fight. And it really benefit me. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. If I run into him though, I'll hit him with two smacks: one with the front hand, one with the back hand, and both sides of the hands.
Bad guys though, Paulie, can make a little bit of money. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car, and that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And
as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know that.
I don't know.
Look, you're a New Yorker. He does a radio show in New York. You can't tell me that hasn't crossed your mind. You could sell some tickets somewhere.
I mean, I could probably go to the radio station and go beat him up. I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah, there's no money in that. It's prize fighting, right? It's prize fighting.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he's been putting me on his stories because now he's got this video. So now he's been putting me on his stories, and it's gone viral. So I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to separate myself from it. We'll see.
Boxing with Chris Mannix is brought to you by FanDuel.
Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free, no deposit required, with a free entry to an NBA contest. Plus, for those who want to deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? FanDuel Fantasy is an easy-to-use app. Pick a new team every game, different and unique contests across sports in relation to your skill level, compete against your friends in head-to-head matchups. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play free, no deposit required, with a free entry to an NBA contest. And FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Go to FanDuel.com/Cowherd to sign up today. That is FanDuel.com/Cowherd so they know we sent you. FanDuel, more ways to win. So, you're a sports fan. That's why you're listening, baby. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. And I'm all over it like Revis Island. I have nothing but great things to say about it. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to bet smarter and turn a profit betting on sports. In fact, their free Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can See the latest picks and articles from Action Network gambling experts, as well as personalities like Colin Cowherd. Compare odds from different sportsbooks and track every bet you make so you always know how your picks are doing. So, if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smarter.
So this kind of segues into my question about exhibition matches in boxing, and you clearly don't love them in terms of, like, you know, they may someday come to define the sport. That seems to be
I don't want them to define the sport.
Mm-hmm. Is that like, but how much of that do you put on actual boxers? Like, you know, like you make the Mayweather Logan Paul fight, right? Like, it was exactly as dumb as I thought it was going to be. I actually thought Logan Paul was better than I thought it was going to be because he did what a big man kind of should do in box, which is lean on a guy. Like, that's your one way to finish a fight. And if you don't have the skills, you might as well take advantage of your size. But, like, the belly aching from boxing kind of rang hollow to me because, okay, you got this fight, this farce on this weekend, but next weekend, World Championship Boxing, Jermall Charlo against Juan Montiel in one of the worst main events you could possibly make in middleweight boxing or any class of boxing. I mean, boxing, you know, the rise of these exhibition sports, Paulie, in my mind anyway, has a lot to do with the fact that boxing doesn't counter-program, if you will, doesn't give fans a reason to be just as excited about their main events as these exhibition ones.
Yeah. I mean, you have a big point here, Chris. You know, boxing shoots itself in the foot a lot of times. But here's the thing. I mean, are these better fights? I mean, here's what this reminds me of. I've made this example many times. It's like the most popular kid in high school getting into a fight against another popular kid in high school. And even if they can't fight, people are going to watch. But maybe the nerdy kid has a black belt in jiu-jitsu or has been boxing for years, but nobody cares if he gets into a fight because he's not that popular, right? So it's basically like become like a popularity contest where if two guys are popular enough, let's just fight, right? That's what ends up being what they're doing. And the fight is not really that good. There's not really that much skill involved. There's not really that much excitement behind it. It's more hype than anything else. Are the fights really that good at the end of the day? No. I mean, was Jake Paul knocking out Ben Askren that good? I mean, it was all hype, but it was dumb as a guess, right? So I mean, Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson, the same thing. You know, listen, and I respect the Paul brothers a little more because they've actually been doing this for enough time to actually call themselves boxers now. But nonetheless, you've started a trend where you're just making this a popularity contest, and your skills and how good you are at something doesn't even matter. Actually, Conor McGregor probably started this more than anything because I've never seen a guy so popular lose so many times. You know what I mean? He actually loses more than he wins, and he still manages to stay at that popularity rate. So again, it says more about the generation than anything else. You know what I'm saying? Because then at this point, you can bring in YouTubers, you can bring in anybody. Winning doesn't even matter.
McGregor was also great before he started losing. Like, he had a period of time where he was arguably the top guy in UFC.
I mean, he had like a one-year prime. I wouldn't call him great. He never made a title defense in his life. I wouldn't call him great, but he took the world by storm. He took the world. He knew how to take the world by storm with his personality. He won some key fights, and he did what he did. But let's face it. I mean, it was a flash in the pan at the end of the day. It was a year and a half. Let's face it. And then it's been all downhill ever since. But he's been more popular now than he was when he was winning, right? So the reality of it is, I kind of started the trend, and I think these YouTubers, Instagrammers, TikTokers started to see it doesn't even matter if you win. It's just about popularity. You led the groundstone. You kind of set the groundstone. It's just about popularity.
But isn't Paul, not Paul, I'll let you finish, but like, isn't everything about popularity? Even boxing, like Arturo Gatti wasn't very good. Like, Arturo Gatti was just wildly popular.
But he wasn't, he belonged in a boxing ring. You know what I'm saying?
He did, but like, he started to lose more than he won in that top level. Once he got to that top level, he was going down.
Yeah, of course. You had to find him, but he could beat faded ex-champions. You know, he was at 140 pounds. You know, he beat Jesse James Leha. He beat Leonard Duran. You know, he beat guys that had been world champions. You know, he'd gotten enough key wins to where he could hang around at a certain time. Listen, popularity comes into play because if Arturo wasn't so popular, they wouldn't have got him those kind of opponents where he was going to beat them. But no matter what, I mean, you're not going to get a Jake Paul or a Logan Paul or any kind of TikTok or Instagrammer, and they're not going to get in the ring and beat an ex-world champion, even if he's faded. They're not going to. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. So you still can't make that comparison because Arturo still had been a championship-level fighter, even if his popularity made him more popular. These guys, none of these guys will ever win I'll never say never because they found a way to make Ulysses Chavez Jr. world champion. So I can never say never. But nonetheless, it'll be very, very, very difficult. Even in this time frame where we have like all these belts, it'll be very, very difficult to find them a major world title. And what I mean by a major world title is the most prestigious version of the Big Four, not the third version of the WBA when there's not any. I'm talking about for them to win the most prestigious version of the Big Four. You'll never, ever see them winning.
They don't want them, do they? Like, they're not going. Jake Paul's not going to wind up fighting. Jake Paul wants every ex-MMA champion he can possibly get his hand on, which is smart.
That's fine. I get it. But what it's doing is it's setting a trend. Other guys now, you got Corey B coming in, and he's starting now. He wants to be a boxer, and everybody like him wants to be a boxer. There's a pay-per-view going on, bro. TikTokers versus YouTubers or whatever it's called. I don't even know what they call themselves anymore. It's all just them fighting each other. And I'm sure it'll sell more than a lot of popular main events in boxing. You know, so I don't know, man. I get what they're doing, and I understand it, but it's setting the wrong trend. It's setting a trend. We're going down the wrong path here with the sport. You know what I'm saying? And we're gonna lose it.
I feel like that's not like combat sports. I put in three buckets. There's MMA, there's boxing, and then there's whatever the hell this is. Like, this is something to me entirely different. And in my mind, as long as it's not taking dates on ESPN, Showtime, DAZN, Fox, I'm cool with it. If people want to pay $50, go right ahead. I mean, Barstool's been doing this for years now with Rough and Rowdy, where you've got these, you know, guys from West Virginia banging away at each other for 1 3-minute rounds. Just a different version of it.
Yeah, I see that. But what's going to happen? You're going to if you keep letting it grow, what's going to happen is people are going to see that boxing doesn't get the ratings that maybe this other thing gets. You know, you see boxing, it gets a contract with a network and then it gives it away. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was the beauty of having Showtime and HBO there for a while. No matter what, you were not going to lose boxing on HBO and Showtime to another sport or to another competing entity. Now with boxing on ESPN and Fox, I mean, I already heard Fox is going to get rid of their boxing programming at the end of 2021. So I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've heard through the grapevine. So if you're going on boxing with these kind of networks where they have so many other options, you risk losing the sport on these networks, and then you risk not having a home for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So these other networks, they don't care if the guy's good or not. They're going to care about ratings, and they're going to care about if this doesn't get the ratings, but I can replace it with this that will get the ratings. You know what? I'm going to replace it with this instead. And so, you know, you're going to wind up not being able to hold your ground in certain scenarios and lose a home for a lot of the main part of boxing, you know, the heart of boxing, the root of boxing, that the world-class fighters that deserve these dates. And I just don't see how you can be more entertained by YouTubers and Instagrammers and TikTokers than you can by a legitimate world-class fight.
Anyone that goes into these things, though, thinking it's going to be highly competitive and high level, you're just dumb. Like, that's your own fault. Like, anybody complaining, Paulie, about the end result of Mayweather versus Paul, go to bed. Like, I don't want to hear from you. Like, this was what it was expected to be. The problem is, I can make an argument that Mayweather versus Paul was more competitive than Charlo versus Montiel is going to be. You've got a guy whose claim to fame is beating up the corpse that was James Kirkland in his last fight, and was recently pancaked by Jaime Munguia. Like, you know, Charlo should walk through him. Like, that's not a competitive fight either.
I know, you're right. And unfortunately, like I said before, boxing does shoot itself in the foot. I mean, Canelo fought Avni Yildirim and made it a stadium fight in January. You know what I mean? A guy who didn't belong in the ring with him at all. You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that the sanctioning body's fault, though, too?
But it is, of course. But he blamed it on the mandatory, but he didn't fight Jamal Charlo when he was his mandatory at middleweight. You know what I mean? So you can't blame it on the mandatory when you're picking and choosing your mandatories. You know what I mean? You could do that if you weren't picking and choosing your mandatories. We both know, let's face it, we both know Canelo doesn't have to fight his mandatories. Nobody's going to strip him. You know what I mean? Everybody wants them to have their belts, you know? So to use a mandatory cop-out also is another way of boxing shooting yourself in the foot, because you could buy the Yildirim excuse being a mandatory if he fought Jamal Charlo when he was a mandatory at middleweight. You know what I mean? But he didn't. So it's the same thing like you're saying, Charlo, Montiel, whatever. It all goes in the same pot here. Boxing does shoot itself in the foot, and then people get mad about the one-sidedness and all this other stuff. But you'd rather be disappointed by an Instagram or TikToker fight, because you're still going to be disappointed. It's not like you're going to come out and say, man, what a fight. That was amazing. I've yet to see a YouTuber, TikToker, Instagram fight where people come out of it Monday morning at the water cooler and be like, yo, that was some fight Saturday night. Yo,
no,
that
no,
was
no, no. You, So you never.
What are you going to do? You're still going to be disappointed anyway. So what's the point? What are we talking about?
I think the difference is YouTuber versus YouTuber. I have no expectations. I'm not going into that thinking it's going to be any good. A championship fight on Showtime, though. Championship fight on Showtime, like, I would hope that would be Showtime. I'm not just singling out Showtime here. ESPN, DAZN, Fox. Like, if you're putting a main event on, I want it to be competitive. And too often, I'm kind of looking at it being like, that's not going to be competitive at all. Like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. All right. I want to move on to get your take on what happened at the press conference today between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Wilder, after spending the better part of the last year making some wild accusations at Tyson Fury to any local podcast or radio show that he could get a hold of him, went silent at this press conference, put headphones on, didn't say a word, had a 5-minute stare down with Tyson Fury that was, you know, according to the internet, really intense, but I didn't find it all that intense. Malik Scott did most of the talking. They're going to fight again on July 24th. New trainer in his corner, Wilder, you know, different mindset, all that stuff. Do you buy any of that? Do you think there's, you know, there's a path to victory here for Deontay Wilder?
Listen, I think Malik Scott is a really, really intelligent boxing guy. I was in the amateurs with him. He was a good amateur. He was a pretty good pro as well. I think he's got a good boxing mind. He's really an astute student of the game as well. So while I don't agree with how Deontay treated Mark Breland, I do think Malik, you know, can bring something to the table for Deontay. I do think that. But having said that, there are certain key flaws fighters have that they're not going to change overnight. And one of the things some fighters have is they cannot fight going backwards. They can't do it. You know, I remember Zab Judah had this problem, and I remember saying to myself, I'm going to step to him in the fight. He's never going to expect it. I'm going to keep in his face. I'm going to back him up, and his power is going to be nullified when he's fighting going backwards. You know, Julio Cesar Chavez, a great fighter. You know, you don't have to be it doesn't mean you're a bad fighter if you don't have this flaw. Julio Cesar Chavez, if you backed him up, he couldn't fight. You know, so Deontay, unfortunately, has this problem. He can't fight going backwards. If you back him up, he's got a big, big problem. You know, you kind of saw it in earlier parts of his career when guys would push him back. He started with that flailing stuff and be all over the place. But with Tyson Fury, you've got a bigger man than him. You've got a 6'9" guy who's like a tree trunk when you get in a clinch with him. But at the same time, he's taller and bigger than you on the outside as well. So he's going to take it to you. And I always found it really poignant what Tyson Fury said, because a lot of times, as fighters, we answer questions in the media in a way where we're just kind of looking to annoy you guys or looking to say something wild on purpose, right? So, and I thought Tyson was answering this on purpose, this answer. When somebody asked him, how did you know you were going to knock out Deontay Wilder in the rematch? And he said, oh, when did you know? And he said, I knew in round 12 of our first fight. And I thought, like, yeah, all right. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm thinking to myself, he's just giving that just for clickbait. And then he explained it. He said, when I got up from the knockdown, I was very hurt and I had to take it to him, because if I tried to survive, I was not going to be able to survive. I had to take it to him and fight him off of me. And when I fought him off of me, I ended up winning the rest of the round, even putting him in trouble. And I realized that getting in his face is what bothers him, and it backing him up is what bothers him. And when the bell rang, I went back to my corner and said, make the rematch. I'm going to knock this guy out in the rematch. And I was like, wow, he's right. You know, because then round one of this rematch, what did he do? Round one of the rematch, Fury continued that exact game plan. He went right to Fury. And again, I thought it was gamesmanship when the rematch talk, he said, I'm going to get in his face and I'm going to back him up. I said, yeah, all right. Just gamesmanship. He's not going to back him up. He's going to box him like he did the first fight. And sure enough, from round one, he took it right to Fury, right to Deontay, and backed him up. And once again, kept proving that Deontay can't fight on the back foot. And this is a big guy. You can't even get into a clinch with him and push him back. He's bigger than you. It's like a tree trunk, you know? So while I do think Deontay's style can get some help from Malik, there's an intelligence there with Malik. There's a cerebral part of Malik's style, Malik's mind, that can be transfused to Deontay. I just don't think this is a style for him. He can't beat Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight in the world then. I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. You can land a big shot, but you got to be on the front foot. A guy like Deontay, if he's on the back foot, he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to hurt you. It's the same thing. These kind of guys, they lose their steam on their shots when you keep them on their back foot. So I find it really interesting
all the gamesmanship and all the other stuff. Yes, Deontay was talking a lot, and then at the press conference, he wasn't talking. Sure, it's all part of the spiel. He's mad. I get it. You know, you're supposed to be mad. You're supposed
I don't even think he's mad. I think that it's – you see it sometimes in politics where, you know, somebody says something to a friendly interviewer or in a place where he's not going to be seriously questioned and then won't say it in a space where he is going to be questioned. So I'm specifically talking about the accusations that Breland spiked his water, that Fury loaded his gloves. Like, these are things that, like, do not pass the smell test. You know what I mean?
That's a good point, because I did have a curiosity. And again, I didn't watch the press conference, but I did have a curiosity about him bringing all this up now in front of Fury, because you've made up all these excuses with Fury not in your presence. But I did have a curiosity if he had the guts to say all those things, make all those excuses with Fury standing right there listening and calling him out on, including the white privilege stuff that he tried to throw in in an interview a couple of weeks ago. Now you got this tower, like a twin, he's like a twin tower, this guy Fury, standing in your face. Now do you have the guts to say all those things you've been saying before? Or are you going to be, like I told Corey, be quiet as a mouse, right? So I don't know if it was gamesmanship or even if it was intimidation, if he was just intimidated from wanting to speak a certain way because Fury was present. But nonetheless, we're going to find out in July. I don't know. You know, it's hard to read the guy because he talks a certain way. And sometimes I think, you know what, he's in denial, but you have to be in denial to go into this rematch and feel like you're going to win it, you know, because you can't go into the rematch saying, you can't go into this third fight saying, oh, I'm going to get killed. You know, you can't say that because you don't want to be mentally you don't want to mentally suck yourself out. So you've got to almost put yourself in denial and look like a crazy guy and say all these things just so you can convince yourself that you are going to win the fight. But to show the confidence that you believe that, the most important thing is to say it in the presence of your opponent. Say that in the presence of your opponent. That's an interesting thing you just brought out, you know, that he was so quiet.
You have that opportunity to let it all out in front of not just Fury, but like actual like meet reporters that are going to try to drill down on that type of stuff, and you don't do it. That struck me as interesting. I thought Tyson Fury made a good point too when, I mean, Malik Scott was the only one talking on the Wilder side, and Malik was talking kind of about what they were doing in camp, and Fury's like, look, he actually made a point. He was like, look, Malik, I think you're a good guy and maybe a good trainer, but you know, when the pressure comes, he's going to revert, he being Wilder, is going to revert to what he knows. Like, you know, his kind of instincts. You're not going to change a guy, this is Fury's point, in the span of one training camp. And I tend to agree with him. I think Wilder will still kind of just try to let his hands go. He'll probably be doing it mostly off the back foot. And in all likelihood, it's not going to lead to a positive outcome for Deontay Wilder.
No, I think it's going to be the same thing as the second fight. I think Fury kind of has the blueprint. And he's got the size, the physical mass, and the physical ability to impose himself that way. Some guys don't. You know, Deontay is big himself. So some guys don't have that ability. But Fury has that ability to impose that kind of blueprint. I see the same kind of result. I think it could even be worse at this point. Because now he's really made it clear that he doesn't want anybody stopping the fight. So you got to literally, like, smoke him out of there like a joint. You know what I mean? I think it could be even worse in the second fight, but we'll see. You know, he does have that big power. You always have to keep it in mind. He's able to let go of a shot while planted and while not being backed up. He could do damage, but we will see.
All right, July 16th, you'll be in South Florida, part of the Extreme Bare Knuckle broadcast. What I'm curious about, Paulie, with this stuff is, does it have staying power? And you've been involved in various incarnations of boxing over the years, especially in the latter end of your career after you retired. As you look at Extreme Bare Knuckle boxing, do you see it having traction? Do you see it being able to capture an audience?
I think when bare knuckle boxing first returned to the scene, I think people had their doubts about it, and it has grown in popularity since. Well, the thing about the BYB is they use a different kind of ring. They use a trigon. So the triangle, I worked one show with them so far, and no matter where you go, you're trapped. You really don't even have any room in there to do any ring generalship. Does it get bloody? Yes. But is it safer? That's where my experience comes in bare knuckle. You cannot load shots consistently like you can with boxing gloves on. The thing about why boxing is so dangerous is because you have padded gloves, but the padding is just enough to protect your hands, but not enough to protect the person taking the blows. Now, in the gym, they're a little heavier, okay. But the combat gloves don't have enough padding to protect the person taking the blows, but they have enough padding to protect your hands so that you can keep loading up and loading up and loading up. With bare hands, you can't do this. So what do you have? Barbarians, you have the illusion that it's worse because you have violence or in terms of blood. But your knuckles are like razors. They're creating more blood, right? So people get the view, like the perception, like, oh my God, this is so terrible. It's just blood, though. It's just blood. Barbarians think coming from a fighter. Yeah, some people, blood is bad. But you're not getting those internal injuries that are dangerous to somebody because you can't keep loading heavy, heavy shots on somebody and survive the fight because your hands will absolutely implode on you, you know? So I do think that it's safer, but it's more action. It forces more action. The Trigon especially, there's no room for ring generalship. So when you have consistent knockouts, the Trigon itself is more different than any other bare knuckle ring as well because it's got like a 90% knockout ratio. The show I just worked last month, all the fights ended in knockout, every single one. There's nowhere to go. You know what I mean? So you gotta know how to fight right from where you are. You know what I mean? You gotta have the ability right from where you are. And as soon as you back up, you get yourself into one of those triangle corners, you got ropes on both sides of you. There's nowhere to go now. Now you're really screwed. So I think it has staying power because it's a short fight. The knockouts make it even shorter. It's a lot of action, it forces action. So in a generation where it's a new generation, these young people, they have this instant gratification type of thing. They don't have a big mental span to kind of concentrate. And I call it the dumbest generation we've ever lived in human history. I do. But so in order to kind of sell to them, because this is the who you have to sell to at this point, they love the instant gratification of the fight, not having to sit through the moments of the fight kind of warming into the fight and playing out and seeing how the guys are warming to each other. There's no time for that. You got to go in there and let your hands go right away. And within 30 seconds, most of the time, you've seen blood already because even a grazing shot opens a cut. Now you think there's more damage than is actually being done. The fighters are safe. They're going to get cut. They're going to get stitches. But they're safer than they are in other combat sports. So for me, I like it. And I think it has staying power because it has both. It affects both sides. It gives you the action you need. It gives it to you instantly. But at the same time, you're not going to have the massive brain damage or deaths in this sport.
Oh, we'll see what happens. July 16th, next time out, you'll be ringside falling for BYB6 Extreme Bare Knuckle. Always good to catch up, man. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, Chris. Good talking to you, man.
All right, my thanks to Pauly Malignaggi. On Friday, we will be back with another big episode. Sergio Mora, the former junior middleweight champion, DAZN broadcaster, he will join me live. Plus, Anderson Silva, the former MMA fighter, he is getting in the boxing ring against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I talked to Anderson Silva about that and much more.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.